good to see everybody here this morning. It's a long holiday weekend for a lot of you folks, and some people are traveling, and it's good to see those that are here visiting with us today. And hope the holiday's gone well for you. You've had an enjoyable time. Indulge yourself in the feasting, especially the feasting and the comfort of family and friends. The lesson this morning, I had a hard time deciding what I was going to preach on. Want to turn something up? Yes, it is. Yeah, I did. I snuck it in there. Basically, because you try to say things that are going to be helpful to people, and especially considering the circumstances at any given time that a congregation may be going through. And I thought that perhaps it would be a good idea to do a little bit of speaking on this concept of serving. I'm sure, Randy, when you were a little boy, to put a little Kieran on you, that what you really wanted to be when you grew up was a servant. I mean, that was your goal from a very small age, to grow up and be a servant. Right? No, I'm just thinking. Now, how many of us, when we're small, think that way? When I grow up, I want to be a servant. I want to be a bond servant. I want to sell myself to be a servant to someone else. I want to be a bond servant to somebody else. How many of us think that way? It's really not American to think that way. We come right down to it. When you're young, perhaps when you're especially around teenage years, high school years, perhaps, if you ask a young person around that age, what do you want to be when you grow up? They might say, well, I'd like to be a doctor. I'd like to be a lawyer. I'd like to be a veterinarian. I'd like to be a scientist, a rocket scientist. You know, those guys get a lot of credit for brains. I'd like to be a rocket scientist. Everybody says, you know, this isn't rocket science. I'd like to be a rocket scientist. I'd do something that most people can't do. Whatever. What family do you want to be born in? What station in life do you want to have? What income do you want to earn? Well, we don't always get to choose all of those things, though we have some say over some of those things. In this country, anyway, we do have some choices to make in that regard. But I don't think very many of us, when we were young, thought, when I grow up, I want to be a bond servant. That's what I want to be. Now, most of us want to be great, important, wealthy, famous, something along those lines. A high position in life with many people perhaps serving me is the concept that a lot of us might have had when we were younger. But what we just read here is an interesting passage of Scripture we just had read to us from the book of Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 7. It's a passage that most of us are probably familiar with, that we've thought about and that we've studied and that we've talked about. We may have even done some devotional at home on this very passage at one time or another, or maybe several times we've done it, because it is a passage that lends itself to private meditation, prayer, and worship. And with that, let's read it again. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. That's an interesting way to begin our discussion. It's certainly an interesting concept when you start reading this particular passage of Scripture. The idea of having the same attitude in yourself that was found in Christ is something that we ought to be interested in. And it goes on to say, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men. Well, that's you and I. The ending of that is he became like us. And emptying himself, in taking the form of a bondservant, he became like you and I. And so we're told to have this attitude in ourselves, which was in Christ. I want you to think about this for a minute. Before you were born, well, you don't know anything about that, do you? Hey, you didn't exist. At least before you were conceived, you didn't exist. You didn't think about any of these things. But this passage tells us that Jesus, in his pre-existence, did not regard the equality that he had with God a thing to be grasped or held on to, but that he emptied himself and became a bondservant. This was a choice that he made. For some reason, Jesus decided that he wanted to become a bondservant. That's what he wanted to be when he was here on earth. Even though he was equal with God in heaven. Again, we emphasize the beginning of this verse. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. And I would suggest to each of us that if Jesus, who, although he had equality with God before he came on this earth, if Jesus could have this kind of attitude in becoming a bondservant, like you and I really are, we ought to be able to have this attitude. But we ought to want to have this attitude, because that's who we are. We are God's creatures. We are to be, or are meant to be, his bondservants. And so we are told to have this attitude that was found in Christ Jesus. As he was upon the earth, he didn't become a doctor or a lawyer or a rocket scientist or any of those things. When you think about it, he would have been a good one of any one of those things. I mean, who knows more about space than he does? Or matter than he does? Or force than he does? Or any of those things that we might study and make ourselves familiar with in looking at this creation and learning about it. Who knows more than he does? He made it all. But he came to be a bondservant. To be like or made like us, men. It tells us a lot about Jesus, or it tells us a lot of truthful things about Jesus. Though he had the power, and though he had the glory and honor of being equal with God, yet he wanted to be a bondservant. Yes, Jesus was exalted above every name after he left, was died, crucified, was raised, and sent into heaven after he left. He was exalted above every name, but before he was exalted, he became a bondservant. After he completed what the Father had for him to do, after he finished his service, he was exalted. I think that's significant too. Because Jesus, in serving the Father, was sent to serve us. He was looking out for the interests of others in doing the Father's will. And this really is the heart of being a servant. This is what it means to be a servant. We can look up the word servant in an English dictionary. We can look up the Greek word in the Greek dictionary. But Jesus, in his life, tells us what it means to be a servant. It has to do with looking out for the interests of others as God would have us to do it. As God knows what's best for each and every one of us. And to have a concern for others in the way that God does. That's what Jesus came for. That's what he came to do. And so we want to look at Jesus as our example of being a servant. There are three things in this passage, or in this general text, that the writer Paul talks about with in regards to Jesus being a servant. He tells us that Jesus humbled himself. We'll talk about that for a little bit. He tells that Jesus learned obedience, and we'll talk about that for a little bit. And he tells us that Jesus fit the mold that the Father prepared for him. And some of those thoughts, while found here, are also found in other passages as well. Jesus humbled himself, verse 8, which we have not read as yet, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. One of the interesting things that we can note in this text is that even though Jesus had emptied himself of all that honor and glory and equality with God that he could have held on to, even though he emptied himself and took the form of a bondservant, Paul does not say or talk about his humility until we get to verse 8. And what does he talk about in verse 8? In being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death. Humility involves obedience. Until a person comes to the point that they are going to give themselves over to God in humble obedience, they have not begun to emulate Jesus Christ in their life. They haven't taken upon themselves the attitude that Jesus had. Think about this for a minute. The one who was equal with God, the one who was with God, the one who had all that power and glory and honor with God, didn't hold on to it, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and then humbling himself as a bondservant and obeying to the point of death. That's what he did. And he teaches us, by his example, that God wants us to humble ourselves and obey him in all that he tells us to do, even to the point of death. That's what God wants of us. If we're going to be servants of God, we're going to have to follow Jesus in his attitude and be humble and do things God's way. We need humility first if we are going to become bond servants. That's Jesus' attitude. Paul wrote verses 5 through 11, showing Jesus as our example in humble obedience, to encourage us to do the same thing. Because let's back up a little bit and read the verses before verse 5 and see what he was trying to get across when he brought this whole subject up. Beginning in verse 1, if therefore there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, Make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, let each of us regard one another as more important than himself. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. And that's where he comes in and says, have the same attitude of Jesus, because it was Jesus who sets for us the example that is above any example that you could talk about in what it means to be a bondservant of God, because he truly looked out for the interests of others. He set that example for us. And we are encouraged to do the same thing by being humble in obeying God in all things that he would have us to do. Let me ask you a question. Can you think of one time in the life of Jesus Christ here on earth where his ego was shattered? You can't find it. There's no such occasion in his life. Do you want to know why? Because Jesus came here in humble obedience. It's really tough to shatter or burst the ego of a humble person. It's a hard thing to do. And in the case of Jesus Christ, impossible. People tried to. People tried to destroy him. People tried in all manner of ways to trick him, to deceive him, to defeat him. They were all doing the work of the devil in doing this. They tried. But it couldn't be done. They couldn't do it. Because Jesus was a humble servant while here. And I would suggest to each one of us that we need to emulate this humility. And our egos won't be so easily broken or shattered or burst. You see, Jesus was not thinking of himself. He was thinking of his Father and the work his Father gave him to do in serving others. And if we think that way, if we behave that way, if we have that, I should say, kind of an attitude our own selves, then it'd be a whole lot more difficult for people to get into our heads and break our egos. Because we are bond servants of God Almighty, serving him and helping others. That's what we are. That's what we're meant to be. And if we follow Jesus, that's what we will be. Jesus knew who he was while he was on the earth. If you study and read John's Gospel, the 8th chapter especially, he knew who he was. I am from above, you are from below. He knew who we were. He always knew who he was. And people, no matter how they tried, could not destroy that. Because he came to be a humble bondservant of his Father and serving others. What can humility do for your self-image? That's something to meditate on. What can humble service do for your self-image? The way you think about yourself, the way you feel about yourself, who you really are. And then you begin to realize how valuable a lesson this is, and how important a lesson it was that Jesus teaches us, that we would be humble servants of God Almighty and helping each other. Just as he was. Is your ego often crushed, bruised, battered, destroyed, burst? Then probably the problem lies not with the people who assail you, but the way you think of yourself. You just don't know who you are, what you're meant to be. I once was talking to a fellow who always had, seemed to have this problem with what people thought of him. Rather interesting concept. We all have this problem, I suppose. What is so-and-so thinking of me? And I mentioned to him, I said, you know, so-and-so's probably not even thinking about you at all. And you ought not to be thinking of yourself either at all. If you'd stop doing that, your ego wouldn't get burst so many times. If we live more like Jesus lived, then we'll be happier. Because we'll be what we're supposed to be. Humble servants of God. Not self-centered people trying to build up our own selves in the eyes of other people. You get the difference? Most of the world lives that way. And it is so unfulfilling. When you could turn the whole thing upside down and stop thinking of yourself and serving others, and you'll be happy. It's an amazing concept, isn't it? That's who Jesus was. That's the example that he set. That's who we need to be. That's the kind of people we need to be. We need to know who we are as children of God. Look at Galatians chapter 1 and verse 10. Here's a passage of scripture that we've probably all read many times. But I do believe it indicates to us that Paul, who wrote Philippians and Galatians, knew personally what he was talking about. Because he strove in his life to imitate Jesus Christ. Paul in Galatians 1 and verse 10 says this, "For am I now seeking the favor of men or of God?" A very important question that each of us should ask our own selves. Why are we doing what we are doing? Am I now striving or seeking the favor of men or of God? And then he goes on to answer this question with more question. Another question, "Or am I striving to please men?" Here's his answer. If I was still trying to please men, in other words, there was a time when I was, if I was still trying to please men, I would not be a what? A bondservant. I would not be a bondservant of Jesus. In other words, Paul's saying, I am a bondservant of Jesus. And I am because I'm not striving to please men, but God. But in striving to please God, I am a bondservant of God, serving others. That's what he was. And you see, he was, in all his life after he was converted, we talked about his conversion a little bit this morning, but in his life after his conversion, he was not striving to please men, but God. And he was doing so in serving others. And you can see that in his life, surely, if you've studied his life at all. And as you go through the book of Acts and you read his epistles, you know one thing about Paul, certainly, is he strove to serve God in helping others. Especially in helping others with the gospel of Jesus Christ. The man gave his life for it. Just as Jesus gave his life for it. Jesus humbled himself by obeying God. Paul followed in his footsteps. We ought to do the same. I believe the times that I have quit in my service to God have all been times when I've been thinking of myself. I've been selfish. It is a woe is me, or a why me, selfish attitude. It says in this passage, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. In Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 7, it says this about this very point. In Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 7, in the days of his flesh, speaking of Jesus, he offered up both prayers and supplications with loud crying and tears to the one able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his piety. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from the things which he suffered. And having been made perfect, he became to all those who obey him the source of eternal salvation, being designated by God as a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. It says that he humbled himself in becoming obedient to the point of death. And the Hebrew writer says that he learned obedience in going through that death. Have we learned to obey? No, we're called upon to go through death. For all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death. And therefore, those who have been baptized into his death have died to sin. Have we learned obedience? Have we died to sin? Do we know what that means? Practically speaking, not just theoretically speaking. We can read it, we can understand it, but do we know what it means to learn obedience by going through the process? By obeying God in all things. Do we have that attitude that Jesus had? You know, he prayed to God. He cried out to God, his Father, who could save him from that death. And he was heard for his piety. And then he learned obedience through the things which he suffered. He went through it. He went through it because he was a humble bondservant while he was here on this earth. And he did it to serve others. Are we willing to learn obedience in this way? How are we doing in the school of obedience? How you doing, Robert? How is each one of us doing in that school of obedience? Do we follow Jesus? Do we imitate him? Is he truly our Lord and our Master? Is he truly enthroned in our hearts? Is it for him that we live? That's who he was while on this earth. That's who we are to follow. To be a better servant, to be a better bondservant of God Almighty, one has to first learn. Think about this for a minute. It only makes sense. If you're going to serve someone else, what are you going to have to do first? Learn what that person needs. If a person needs food and you bring the person clothing, well, the clothing may be useful at some point, but it doesn't serve the person. You first have to learn what the person needs. If you're going to serve God, you first have to learn what he desires you to do, what he needs for you to do, what he wants for you to do. Jesus prayed to God Almighty, and he learned obedience through the things which he suffered. If we are going to be good servants, we need to be good learners. The person who wants to serve God his or her own way is not serving God, but his or herself. That's what it is. And most people go through life serving God in their own way. And it's just selfishness. That's all it is. It is not the way that Jesus did it. It is not the example that he set for us. It is not the example that Paul followed. We need to follow in the footsteps of Jesus Christ by serving God in the way that God wants us to. Turn over to Matthew chapter 11, if you would, for a moment. This concept of being good learners, I think, can be brought out from this passage in which Jesus teaches something in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 25, it says, "And at that time Jesus answered and said, I praise thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou didst hide these things from the wise and intelligent and didst reveal them to babes. Yes, Father, for thus it is well pleasing in thy sight. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and to anyone whom the Son wills to reveal him. Come unto me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my load is light." And all of those things that we've read here have direct connection to the things that we've been talking to up to this point. But the thing I'd like to focus on is what he said in verse 25, where he thanked God that he... that the Father chose to reveal these things to babes and hide them from the wise and intelligent. You know, the contrast is not between ignorant people and smart people. That's not the contrast in this passage. The contrast is between babes and wise people or intelligent people. The contrast is between those who are teachable and those who are not. Those who think they know everything, but don't know anything. And in the New Testament, it is the babe who is held up to be our example in so far as our desire to learn is concerned. That's what Jesus says. These things are revealed unto babes. And that's what Peter wrote because he heard what Jesus taught when he says that we are to be like newborn babes longing for the pure milk of the word whereby we may grow in respect to salvation. You see, little babes learn very well. They learn fast. And they learn well. I mean, you don't even have to try to teach them, and they learn. You could just be going around doing your whatever, your daily whatever, chores or recreation, or doesn't matter what it is, and they're learning. And they're learning. And they're learning. They're good learners. And they are held up for us as an example of the way we are to be. We are to be soaking up like sponges what God has for us to learn. We are to be like babes. And stop thinking that we know everything. That we are wise and intelligent. Because then it's hidden. Then it becomes hidden. We ought to be learners. Just as Jesus learned obedience, then we ought to learn. Because we are too teachable. We're bondservants and we're teachable. The last thing we want to talk about is that Jesus fit the mold that God had for him. Think about this for a minute. How easy is it for you to change the shape of a piece of pottery once it's been baked? You know what you're going to end up doing? Breaking it. That's what you're going to end up doing. Pottery is best shaped when it's pliable. When you can take it and form it and reform it and reform it and reform it until it is what you want it to be. And we are to be like that in the hands of God. We are to be like the clay before it's fired, so that He can shape us and form us into what we want to be. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 5, the writer of Hebrews talks about Jesus, who, when He was in heaven, did not regard the equality that He had with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied Himself and took the form of a bondservant, that He allowed Himself to be poured into that form and shaped by that form. It says of Him in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse... That's not the passage I want either. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 5. In Hebrews 10 verse 5, therefore when He comes into the world, He says, sacrifice and offering thou hast not desired, but a body thou hast prepared for me, and whole burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast taken no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come. In the roll of the book it is written of me to do thy will, O Lord. That's Jesus Christ. God had prepared a body for Him. Can you think of anybody else that is written about in scriptures where so much detail was given of that person's life before they lived than Jesus Christ? All the prophecies, we call them messianic prophecies, dealt with Him. Where He was going to be born, where He was going to be raised, what kind of person He was going to be, what He was going to be doing, why He was going to be doing it. All of these things that were spoken of Him before He ever lived, that is the body that God prepared for Him. In the roll of the book it is written of me, I have come to do thy will, O God. Well, could we not say the same thing of us? I think we can. While there may not be a specific passage that mentions Skip Parkett by name, and what he is to be and what he is to do and all those kinds of things, specifically talking about me, there is a passage, or there are many passages of scriptures that talk about me as a bondservant of God and talk about you. Just try out Ephesians. That's just one example of that. The book of Ephesians, the second chapter, where it talks about, in connection with our being saved, it says in verse 10 of Ephesians chapter 2, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. You see the connection that we have with Jesus? Do you see how we are to follow and have the same attitude that He has? That we are also God's workmanship. We are created in Christ Jesus, that there is a work that we are to do for God, and we ought to walk in those things. And even the passage that we've been studying this morning, we talked about the verses that went before, but let's also talk about the verses that follow the example of Jesus Christ, because right after he talks about all that Jesus does and setting an example for us, he says in verse 12 of Philippians chapter 2, so then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. And that's who we are. It is God who works in us if we are like Jesus Christ. If we have within us this attitude of a humble bondservant of God, it is God who is working in us. That's who we ought to be. You know, one of the best things that was ever written about Jesus Christ is this statement that's found in the Old Testament, quoted in the New Testament, I believe in Matthew chapter 12. There's one place, verse 18, where it is said of Him, behold, my servant. We ought to treasure that statement. We ought to treasure that statement because He did not have to be. He chose it. He became a bondservant so that you could be saved. become a bondservant and help others towards that same goal. He humbled himself for that purpose. Ought we not to do the same and humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God and serve others for the cause of Jesus Christ? If you're here this morning and haven't obeyed the gospel, we want to extend to you an invitation. The opportunity is yours to become a bondservant of God today. To follow, beginning this very day, Jesus Christ as your Lord and Master. To become like Him. Humble yourself before God today. Obey the gospel of Jesus Christ while together we stand and sing. Thank you.